오늘 은혜 받은 하나님 말씀 본문을 제가 읽어드리겠습니다. 오늘 성경 말씀은 골로새서 3장 15절부터 17절 말씀. Be thankful. 데이비드 목사님께서 말씀 전해주실 텐데요. 성경 본문 골로새서 3장 15절부터 17절 말씀. 이 짧은 구절, 세 구절이니까 우리 합심해서 같이 합독하겠습니다. 시작. 그리스도의 평강이 너희 마음을 주장하게 하라. 너희는 평강을 위하여 한 몸으로 부르심을 받았나니 너희는 또한 감사하는 자가 되라. 그리스도의 말씀이 너희 속에 풍성히 거하여 모든 지혜로 피차 가르치며 분명하고 시와 찬송과 신령한 노래를 부르며 감사하는 마음으로 하나님을 찬양하고 또 무엇을 하든지 말이나 이래나 다 주 예수의 이름으로 하고 그를 힘입어 하나님 아버지께 감사하라. 예. 우리 데이비드 가든 목사님 나와서 박수로 환영해 주시기 바랍니다.
Speak very close to this because I am having problems with my voice, but I want to make sure you all can hear me. So I also have lots of water just in case. But it is so good to be with you. You know, this church and you have a very special place in our hearts. You always have. And when we are with you, it is like we are home. So we're thankful to be with you very much, very. You have always prayed for me. So many things I could mention. You have had such an important part in our lives. And Paul says when he talks about, he's writing to a church, he says, every time I think about you, I give thanks. And I can say about you. Every time I think about this church and about you, I give thanks because the Lord has used you so much to bless our lives, and we are so very grateful to you. All I can say is, with a very small voice, I am very for you. When Pastor Kim asked me to, when I asked him if we could come, he said, will you bring the message? I said, yes, absolutely, I will come. Back when I said yes, my voice was strong. But I didn't, when I have the problems with my voice, I said, no, I'm going to speak, and the Lord will be gracious, and I will speak as long as I have voice. So maybe we will finish by 12 or 1. I don't know. We will see. But as soon as Pastor Kim asked me to speak, I began to pray and ask God what to speak about. And the very thing that came to my mind very soon was Colossians 3, 15, 16, and 17. And when I told Solomon, I said, well, I'm going to do Colossians 3, 15, 16, 17. She asked me, she said, didn't you already preach that there? And I said, no, I preached on Psalms or something like that. I can't remember, but no, didn't. Well, the truth is she remembered better than I did. And I did preach this passage 4 years ago here. I preached this passage, and you know what? I'm going to do it again. Hopefully, your memory is not any better than my memory, and not as good as her memory. But I think this passage is worth looking at again. I don't know. I did not look at the sermon that I did here before on this. But I do know that God led me to this passage, and it's where we need to be this morning. The title of the message has changed since I spoke to your pastor. Now, what I want to talk to you about, I want to talk to you about the priorities. Priorities. I want to speak about priorities and the priority of Thanksgiving. You know, all of us, we have priorities. We all have things that are important to us. We all have those things that we would say, if I cannot do anything else, this I must do. This I must do. This I must do. We have priorities. They're important to us. And now, as in Colossians chapter 3, Paul is coming to the close of this letter to the church at Colossae. And he gives them three priorities. And I want to give these to you today. I want us to look. These are three things that are essential, not just for my personal life and your personal life, but they are essential for the life of a church. And each of them, each one of them, are connected with thanksgiving and with gratitude. You know, it is good to be thankful. It is good to be grateful. We should be grateful. You know, when you are thankful, when you express thankfulness and when you express gratitude, you are saying to someone, you have done something for me that I did not do for myself. And I want to say thank you to you. Thank you. When you think about your relationship with God, there is so much to be thankful for. So much. And think about the goodness of God. God is good. All the time. God is good. God is faithful. Always faithful. If you look at your life, you will, and you see those times when maybe even your friends or your family, they were not faithful to you. But you can see that God has always been faithful. And God always will be faithful. God is always present to you. When, no matter if you, and I do a lot of funerals now in my position in the church. I help people during those times of loss. And I'm always there. I tell them, you know, you may be by yourself, but you are never alone. You're never alone. God is always present. He has promised He will never leave us nor forsake us. He is always present. And He loves you. He forgives you of all of your sins. He gives you joy. There's so much to be thankful for when we think about our relationship with God. You know, we celebrate. We celebrate Thanksgiving one day a year. But it should be something that is part of our lives every day, of every year. We stop and we give thanks at a meal. And we are grateful for what God gives us. Do you know, the Bible has a lot to say about Thanksgiving. A lot to say. About being thankful. About being a person of gratitude. About expressing gratitude. In fact, in the Bible, thankfulness and gratitude are mentioned over 150 times in the Bible. We are commanded over 33 times to be thankful, to have gratitude. So I want us to look at Colossians chapter 3 as we think about priorities and we think about thanksgiving. I want us to look at Colossians chapter 3. It's only three verses that long, but each one of them tells us something different about giving thanks, about gratitude, and the priorities of thanksgiving. Okay, we've read these together, but I want to give you the context of what is happening. When Paul comes to chapter 3 and verse 15, I want you to see what has been going on before this, because this is a part of a letter that he is writing to the church. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul reminds the church, he reminds us of who Christ is.
He is the very image of the Father, the one through whom all things were made, in whom the very fullness of God is found. And He is the one, Jesus is the one who holds all things together. Listen to Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. Paul says this, "For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him," that is Jesus, "and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross." Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish, and free from accusation. That, my friends, is something to be thankful for, something to be grateful for. In chapter 2, we see that Christ is the one through whom we have life. In chapter 2, verse 13, listen to what He says. "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." Aren't you thankful for that? You can say amen.
Amen.
Amen. When Paul comes to chapter 3, he says, listen, if you have come to Christ, if you have been made alive with Christ, now it's time to start living like that. He says, "Put these things to death that are in you," those things that are not like Christ. "They have no power over you," he says. In chapter 2, verse 15, he said he disarmed the power of those things that they had over you. So you don't have to do those things. You don't have to live like that anymore. He says, so stop. Stop doing those things. And in verse 12, he says, now, start doing these things. These things are things you must do. He says, this is who you really are in Christ. And I want you to remember this. He says, you are chosen by God. You are holy and dearly loved by God. That alone should make you want to say thank you. Thank you. And express gratitude to God. You have been chosen by God. He has made you holy and you are dearly loved by God. I can say thank you to that. And he says, because of this, wrap your lives around with these things. Compassion. Kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. He says, bear with one another. In other words, give grace to each other. Give grace and give forgiveness. And then Paul sets the limit for forgiveness. He says, look, you don't have to forgive anymore than the amount that the Lord has forgiven you. How many of your sins has the Lord? How much have you been forgiven? How many of your sins has the Lord forgiven you? All. Every sin you have ever done, every sin that you do, and every sin that you ever will do,
God has forgiven all of those through Christ for you. Aren't you thankful for that?
And Paul has moved from the big picture, the reality of who Christ is and what Christ has done, to how you should live as a follower of Jesus, and now to how all of that should look in the body of Christ, in the church. As you gather together to be the church, this is what it should look like. And Paul gives three things that are supposed to be, that must be, absolute priority for the church. The first one is this. He says, prioritize the peace of Christ. Prioritize the peace of Christ. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. I don't know about you, but I would really like some peace. I mean, I look at Europe and I see all that is going on, and I wish, I would love to have some peace in Europe. I've been reading about what's going on in Korea, and I would love to have some peace in Korea. Or in our very own government, I would like to see some peace. In the lives of families. In my own life, I would like to have some peace. I find myself a lot like Paul in Romans chapter 7. Those things that I want to do, I don't do. And those things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. I would love to have some peace in my life. Do you realize, listen, God will never force peace upon you. He won't force it upon you. The peace of God, which Paul says passes all understanding, is promised to those who want it, but it's never forced upon those who don't. Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule. Allow it to rule. It's your choice. It's something you are commanded to allow to happen, but you can choose. You can choose or not choose to allow peace to rule. God is not going to force peace upon you. And it is to start in your heart. Peace starts in your heart. If you're a follower of Jesus, listen, you have direct access to a level of peace that the majority of the people in this entire world do not, and they can never know. It's peace that is not dependent on absence of problems. See, that's the way the world sees peace. In fact, listen, for the life of a believer, for the life of a follower of Jesus, it's in the midst of the problems of life that the peace of Christ shines the brightest, and it is most noticed by those around you. In the midst of your problems, the peace that Jesus gives to you is seen by others. Jesus said, my peace I give you, not as the world gives, my peace I give to you. You see, listen, there will never be peace in this world. There will never be peace in my home, in your home, in your heart, until you know the peace of Christ. Let me explain after some water. What sin stole and what sin steals in your heart, God restores through Jesus. God's eternal purpose for you as a follower of Jesus is not just heaven. You know, a lot of people think, they believe that becoming a Christian, becoming a follower of Jesus is all about going to heaven when you die. And you know, the Bible never says that. That's not what it's all about. God's purpose for you is for you to be at peace with God. You will never see heaven without being at peace with God. Heaven is a reality for the follower of Jesus. But the only way you find that is through peace with God. That can only happen through Jesus. He made that possible through His death, through the burial, through the resurrection of Jesus. And it is only by faith in that atoning sacrifice, by your repentance of sin, by turning away from living for yourself, by your self-rule, to allow the Lordship of Jesus to have the final say over what you may want, and by what you do, and by what you say. That's the only way that you can have peace, the peace of Christ in your life. And that is what God desires for your life, and what God desires for the church. Peace. And He says, "To you are called to what you have been called in one body, the body of Christ." It's only when we have peace in our hearts that we can be at peace with others in the church. You know, I don't think there is anything sadder than to see a church that is fighting with each other. And that is so sad. I've always said, you know, the devil, he cannot destroy a church from the outside, but he can destroy it from the inside. When the members of the body fight against each other, it tears a church apart. And it gives a terrible testimony to the world that is watching. You know, where we live now, there is a church on almost every corner. When we first moved there, I was able to find my way around by the churches as landmarks. I go to this church and I turn left. I go to that church, I turn right. And I find my way around by the churches. Most of those churches were started as a result of churches splitting from each other. Jesus said, "By this will everyone know that you are my disciples, that you have love for one another." Let the peace of Christ rule. Let the peace of Christ be part of every decision that you make, every relationship that you have in the church. And when there are conflicts, when fighting starts, you must ask, are we letting the peace of Christ rule? There's much more I could say about that. We are called to peace in the body of Christ. We are to let the peace of Christ rule. That means, that's a word that means that it has the final say. It's the word we get our word umpire for, like in baseball. That one man who says, you're in, or you're safe, or it's a strike, or it isn't, you're out. He has the final say. You may disagree, but he has the final say. He's the umpire. And so we are to let the peace of Christ have the final say. The church. Let the peace of Christ rule. How do you do that? How do you do that? Whenever issues come up that either threaten peace in the fellowship, in the body of Christ, in the church, or when issues come up in your own heart that threaten the peace in your heart, your first response needs to be prayer. It's true. You turn back just a few pages to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Paul says in verse 6, he says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving." Oh, there it is again. "Present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." When the peace of Christ is threatened in your heart by issues, by circumstances, it's threatened in the body of Christ, the first response needs to be prayer. And allow the peace of God to guard your hearts and minds with thanksgiving. Be thankful. Actually, that word in verse 15, where it says, "and be thankful," that's actually a command. You know, I said, when you are thankful, What you're saying is that someone has done something for you that you did not do for yourself. Friends, listen, we need to be thankful for this church. We need to be thankful for your church. Be thankful for those who have the maturity to lead with the peace of Christ as the thing that holds the church together. Be thankful for each other. Be thankful for each other. Be thankful for the way God brings different people with different gifts, but unites them together as one body. Only God could do that. Never take that for granted. If you have peace in your life, and if you have peace in the church, you have a lot to be thankful for. Prioritize the peace of Christ. Secondly, prioritize the word of Christ. In verse 16, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You cannot know the peace of Christ without the word of Christ. These are the words of Christ, the words about Christ, the scriptural teaching about Jesus. You are commanded to allow it to dwell. That's the same word that is the word we have, abide. That's that same word, to remain in you. That's the idea. Personally, it's to remain in you. It's the word that John uses in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14, when he says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's that same word. It's the word that Jesus uses in John 15, where he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will bear much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing, he says. John 15. You are to allow, what Paul is saying is you are supposed to allow the word to take up residence, to find a home in your heart. And it is to be in there richly, deeply, abundantly, is what he says. There's to be a lot of it there. Psalm 119, verse 11. The psalmist says, thy word have I hidden in my heart, so I won't sin against you. I'm just going to say this. You will never have the word of Christ to dwell in you if you don't spend time reading it. You will never have the word of Christ dwell within you if you don't spend time reading it. The Bible is still, after hundreds of years, it is still the best-selling book in the world, and so often the least read book in the world. You know, scripture memory is essential for your growth as a follower of Jesus. It's God's way of not just replacing the thoughts and the thinking that is constantly bombarding you from the world and the way the world is trying to shape your thinking, but it transforms the Bible, the Word of Christ transforms your mind, which then affects your speech and your action. You know, the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. When you think upon the words of Christ, when you dwell upon the words of Christ, when the words of Christ dwell in you, your actions, your thoughts, your speech is different. It's different. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, Paul says, don't be conformed to the image of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God. God breathed. And it is suitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness. If you want to be a righteous person before God, the word of Christ is suitable for training you in righteousness. When you fill your mind and your heart with the word of Christ, that is what begins to come out of you. Jesus said, out of the overflow of your heart, the mouth speaks. This church, this local body of Christ, is to be centered on the word of Christ. It is to form the substance of everything you teach around the table, everything that gets preached from this pulpit. You don't come here to listen to stories. You don't come here to listen to opinions. You come to hear what God has to say to you and how you can live according to that. And the word of Christ, Paul says, is to be how you counsel each other. When someone in the body of Christ needs direction, when they need correction, you're to take the word of God and with all wisdom help them to follow Christ. And it's how you express joy in worship. And I kept thinking as I was watching the words on the screen and as we were singing and worshiping together, it's exactly what what Paul is trying to say. With psalms and spiritual songs and hymns, that forms the substance of your worship. And you do it with gratitude. I looked at what we were singing, and those songs reflected the gratitude that you have for God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Then Paul says, as you come together, when you face decisions and you need to help each other grow to maturity, and as you worship in your response to God, the word of Christ will direct you in the will of God, and it will give you the peace of Christ in your heart. And gratitude will overflow from your heart to God. Prioritize the word of God, the word of Christ. Prioritize the peace of Christ. Prioritize the word of Christ. And there's a third thing quickly I want you to see. After some long while. You don't understand. These are more words than I have spoken in the last 3 days, all together in one time. The third thing is this. Prioritize the reputation. The reputation of Christ. Look at verse 17. He says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Did you hear what He said? Whatever you do, everything you do, whether it is in word, whether it is spoken, or in the actions that you take, how you speak, how you act, is to be done in the name of Christ. What does that mean? It means that it is to be as though the Lord Jesus Himself is speaking those words through you. It's to be as though the Lord Jesus Himself are doing those actions through you. He is acting through you. He is speaking through you. You are His representative to a world that desperately, deeply needs to know Him. You are, the Bible says, His ambassador. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that's exactly what Paul says you are. You are an ambassador for Christ. Now, you know, an ambassador speaks and acts on behalf of the one who sent him. Right? An ambassador doesn't speak his own opinions or her own opinions or do whatever she wants or he wants to do. An ambassador acts as though they were doing the very desire of the one who sent them. Okay. So when people listen to you, and when people watch you, and they are watching you in your family, as you go to the store, as you go to the restaurant, everywhere you go, people are watching. What do they see? What do they hear? Your family, those you work for, those you work with. Are you representing the Lord Jesus well? Give thanks give thanks. You could never do it on your own. You could never represent the Lord Jesus on your own. You could never speak. You could never act like Jesus, as if the Lord Jesus himself were speaking and acting through you on your own. You have been given a great gift. You have the best job in the world. You are an ambassador for Jesus. Give thanks. He will work through you. The priority of thanksgiving. The priority of the peace of Christ. The priority of the word of Christ. And the priority of the reputation of Christ. All I can say is, so much God. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be with you. Thank you.